A change in the who's who at Yahoo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. Yahoo remains one of the most popular destinations on the Internet, but it's not growing the way investors would like. Last night, some heads rolled, and Chief Financial Officer Susan Decker will now be in charge of the company's main revenue-generating activities. That includes its key online advertising sales force. Yahoo's management has come under fire for not moving fast enough in the ever-changing online world. It's decision time on legislation that would allow U.S. companies to sell nuclear fuel and equipment to energy-hungry India. House and Senate negotiators plan to unveil the reconciled versions of the Indian nuclear bill today. The House is scheduled to vote on the bill tomorrow and hopes to finalize a law before Congress adjourns for the year. But as Miranda Kennedy reports, the Indian government has been threatening not to accept the final version.
U.S. officials and lobbyists have been busy persuading India to accept the final version of a bill which would allow U.S. companies to share civilian nuclear fuel and technology. But India's concerned the law will force it to vote with the U.S. against Iran's nuclear program. India is also worried the bill will place restrictions on its plutonium program, which can be used to make both bombs and energy. Worried enough that India's prime minister called Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist last night. Ron Summers is the lead U.S. lobbyist for the Indian nuclear agreement.
It would clearly have an impact on the opportunity for both Indian industry and for U.S. industry.
Yesterday, high-level Indian officials told Summers that U.S. business needs to lobby lawmakers to make the bill acceptable to India. If that doesn't happen, they told him, the U.S.-India relationship will suffer a blow, and so will U.S. business in India. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Fannie Mae is expected to restate a few years' worth of earnings today. It'll be the first time the mortgage finance company has reported results since an accounting scandal erupted 2 years ago. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Fannie Mae spent more than $1 billion reviewing its books. An army of outside consultants took over the company cafeteria. Analysts estimate the resulting restatement could wipe out as much as $11 billion in profits. Regulators say that between 1998 and 2004, Fannie Mae manipulated its earnings to meet bonus targets and Wall Street expectations. Analyst Brian Gardner with Keefe, Bruyette & Woods says the restatement's timing is great for the company. Congress has been hammering out tougher regulations for Fannie Mae and its close cousin, Freddie Mac.
It sends a message that the company is continuing to get its house back in order, and that improves its political standing in Washington.
The company's standing with investors has held up despite the housing slowdown. At yesterday's close, Fannie Mae's stock was up 25% since its low 5 months ago. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Wall Street keeps chugging along, able to find a silver lining even in some otherwise negative economic news. The Dow will be starting the day at 12,331 after a 47-point gain, about a third of a percent. The Nasdaq rose more than 3 points, or one-tenth of a percent. The S&P 500 was up 5 points, or four-tenths percent. In Tokyo today, the Nikkei average climbed six-tenths of a percent. This is Marketplace. 'Tis the season to be a procrastinator, fa-la-la. A new report shows holiday sales were down last week. But retailers shouldn't panic just yet, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Sales at chain stores fell last week compared to the week before. A report from the International Council of Shopping Centers also suggests that, compared to last year, fewer folks have bought the bulk of their holiday gifts. Is this a sign that a slowing economy is cutting into retail sales?
I would not count the consumer out quite yet.
That's Klaus Fornell, professor of business administration at the University of Michigan.
We think that the holiday season will be better than last year. Not that it was particularly good last year, but it will probably be stronger this year, and we predict a spending increase of about 3% for the fourth quarter.
Luckily for store owners, Christmas falls on a Monday this year. That leaves a whole weekend for last-minute shoppers. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Bob Moon. U.S. regulators are expected to unveil a new rule today, making it easier for foreign companies to avoid some regulations of Sarbanes-Oxley. Current rules say foreign companies with more than 300 U.S. shareholders must remain registered with the SEC even after delisting in the U.S. The end result is that those foreign companies are still forced to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. But the proposed change would require only companies with a certain percentage of share trading volume based on the U.S. to register. So how much more complicated is it really to do business here in the United States? Last week, a private sector group called the Committee on Capital Markets Regulation offered a number of measures to ease up the regulatory burdens on companies that sell their shares publicly in the U.S. The rationale was the U.S. financial market needs to stay competitive around the world. The group has unofficial support of Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. He's fretted publicly himself about American stock exchanges becoming uncompetitive. To that, commentator Robert Reich says, "Don't you believe it?"
This business about American capital markets losing their competitiveness is total nonsense. Returns to the financial sector in the U.S. are higher than in any other sector of the economy, and now higher than ever before. Investment bankers are awash in money. So are hedge fund managers, private equity managers, the managers of large pension and mutual funds. Year-end bonuses will hit a record. Uncompetitive? What are they talking about? Now, it's true that the percent of big global initial public offerings listed on U.S. stock exchanges is declining, while the percent of IPOs done through financial centers in London, Hong Kong, and elsewhere is rising. This year, the U.S. accounted for 28% of all new equity raised in the world's largest financial markets. That's down from 40% in 1995. But that doesn't mean Wall Street is becoming uncompetitive. Capital markets are now global. So, of course, other financial centers are going to gain a larger share of IPOs. Meanwhile, Wall Street is doing deals all over the world. Mergers and acquisitions in Europe, China, and Latin America. Hedge funds taking in money from all over the globe. American capital markets are fully competitive. America is still the world's largest magnet for foreign capital. Foreign investors held over $2 trillion of U.S. stocks last year. That's more than the total stock market capitalization of all other markets except the U.K. and Japan. In fact, foreign companies that list both on a U.S. and a foreign stock market typically trade at a premium over foreign companies that list only outside the U.S. Why are investors willing to pay more for listings in the U.S.? Because the U.S. capital market is more stable and transparent, and its tough accounting standards give investors better protection. In other words, because of the very regulations that the Committee on Capital Markets Regulation wants to get rid of. The committee has come up with a bad solution to a problem that doesn't even exist. Hank Paulson should disregard their report. To paraphrase an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't break it.
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. He teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon, in for Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us this morning.
American Public Media.
Imagine a
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.